bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host and founder and director of the WINGS program. And it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And you know, my friends, our show is dedicated to helping men and women who are incarcerated to move forward in their lives, to rebuild and to start anew. And basically, in our last program, we did a lot of teaching on the air. We've got some feedback from a gentleman who is residing at the Downstate Correctional Facility, and this is up in Fishkill, New York, and he writes into the WINGS program. I want to share his letter with you because we have touched him and inspired him to write a letter to us, and his letter goes on to say this. Dear Mr. Montone, can I get some information about the WINGS program? Please. And yes, I would like to be a part of the program. My age is 30 years old. I see myself getting married and starting a family in 1 year from today. Finishing high school and going on to college to work on cars in 5 years. My most vulnerable area is getting locked up in jail. And my greatest weakness is not listening to parole. My current sentence is 19 months, and I should come home sometime next year. My level of education is 11th grade. Sincerely, Timothy. So I share his letter with you, my friends, because, excuse me, this is some great feedback from our listening audience who are actually incarcerated and who would like to prepare for coming home, who would like to basically start setting goals, short-term and long-term goals. And in this letter, we can see that one of the great questions we ask in the WINGS program of our men is, what is your most vulnerable area? You know, and for him, his most vulnerable area is getting locked up and coming back into jail. His greatest weakness is not listening to parole, who sets some limits and standards and things you have to do and things you cannot do when you come home. So this is important. And, you know, if you're out there listening, Timothy, I just tell you that one of the things we do in the WINGS program is try to use our time well, try to avoid regression or stagnation, and coming back into prison, truly, you know, we keep making the same mistake sometimes over and over again. And we've had men with up to 72 arrests in our program who haven't gained wisdom at all and continue on that path. So one of the things, Tim, we have to do is truly learn from the past, learn from those mistakes we've made and from other people's mistakes, and to go forward doing the right thing, staying within the law, trying to move forward one day at a time, and with God's help, you can do it. The other thing is, you know, you talk about your greatest weakness as being something about listening and not listening to the parole board and some of the rules that they've given you, some of the guidelines that you have to adhere to. And so this is a choice we all have, is that we can live within the law or outside the law and be penalized for it or suffer the consequences once again. But isn't it time, my friends, to change our habit patterns, change our lives, and to go forward and to work within the law and try to build a healthy and productive life? Very important, Tim, that we listen and listen well. And God gives us tremendous ability to listen every day and to hear other people. The problem is many times people go out and do what feels good, WFG, something we talk about heavily in the Wings program, which is, you know, averse to what God says to do. It's the opposite. And the same thing with the parole board or probation. We've got to adhere to those guidelines and to those rules and regulations, to those policies and procedures. And we may want to do what we want to do, but God calls us to another law. And the Ten Commandments truly are there for all of us. And so I put that out there because those are the laws from which all laws will stem. And I like your letter, Tim, and I just tell you, I appreciate you taking the time to write to us and to join us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. You talk about your level of education is 11th grade. So one of the things I want you to do is start making an action plan for the future and basically start working on your GED. Education is very important, and usually the more education you have, the more successful you're going to be. And there's all kinds of education, but it really starts with, you know, a high school diploma and getting that and moving forward either into the trades or a college degree and a graduate degree, depending on whatever it is you want to do. And we talk about a high school diploma, we're talking about a GED, truly. And we've had men as old as 51 who have taken the time to work on a GED and get that GED. But I tell you this, before they did that, they had to get their minds right. And the Wings program helped them to do that. Wings program helped them to take their priorities and align them properly. One of the things sometimes people have to do because they're involved with drugs and alcohol, and that may not be part of your problem because you really don't mention it in the letter, but sometimes people have to get their minds right. And they have to go to rehab for drug or alcohol, you know, recovery programs. And I truly recommend a faith-based program where it's God-centered and where it's motivational and spiritual at the same time, giving people hope and vision for the future. But we definitely have to get our minds right and then move forward into great education. And once you get a GED and a high school diploma, you can move forward into, once again, the trades, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, roofing, maybe a CDL license to drive the big rigs. And all of that will help you to find good work so that you can provide for you and for your family, so that you can buy a car, a home, and start opening up a bank account and start enjoying your life on the outside. So education is truly, you know, one of the things that we want to spend time with, something we put into what we call the 168, one of the four fundamentals in the Wings program, where we have 168 hours of total time available. And we want to use that time in a positive way. And if we spend time in education, finishing a GED, even if it took you a year or two, it's worth it because it's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you feel satisfied and complete. And then we can move forward from there. You know, like many of our men who did their GEDs, either inside or outside, once they finished that, it opened the door to new areas of learning. And that's exciting. It helps you to move forward in your life completely. All right. The other thing is, you mentioned that, you know, your current sentence is 19 months and you should come home sometime next year. So you have time to think. Time to get organized. If there is a GED program inside, again, this is the Downstate Correctional Facility in Fishkill, New York. If if they do have a program there, and very often there are programs there, I encourage you to get involved with it, sign up for it, and to complete your GED within the inside of prison walls, and then move forward from there once you come home. There are facilities who have GED programs, associate degree programs, which is a two-year college degree. There are places in New Jersey who have as much as, you know, two-year degrees, as well as some of the trades, like as a barber, electrician, plumber, HVAC, a roofer, a chef. There's all kinds of opportunities out there, but you first have to get your mind right and inquire about those opportunities. Also, you know, there's online learning that sometimes can be an opportunity for people, too, who are incarcerated. But we definitely want to thank you for your letter and just highlight one more thing. You know, in Tim's letter, he talks about, you know, that he's 30 years old, and that's really just getting started. He's got a good 50 years of living, good, clean living. And with that, he sees himself getting married one day. So we know he's single and starting a family 1 year from today. So in his 1 year plan, you know, he can see himself getting married, starting a family. And at that point, you know, God is going to help him to do all good things if he's working within God's laws. He also talks about, again, you know, working on cars in 5 years after going to finishing high school, going to college, and working on cars. What a great trade. You know, auto mechanics do very well. People who do auto body work do very well. You can have your own business. And if you were going to move in that direction, I would encourage you to, you know, to get the trade under your belt, get the certification, and then, or the license, and then maybe take some business courses and see how you would create your own business as an auto mechanic or auto body shop, and then move forward from there. I mean, you're only 30 years old, so you have, you know, all kinds of options and opportunities in front of you, Tim. And we encourage you to, you know, to just pray and ask God for guidance and direction on what he wants you to do with your life. And that's so important that we're aligning ourselves with what God's plan is for us. And when we are aligned with God, he gives us a great peace. And that's a peace that you can't buy anywhere. But we want that peace. I mean, it can only come from that alignment with God and with God's laws. So I encourage you, my friend, to take some time to pray, to get organized, to get our priorities straight, and to move forward, you know, one day at a time, you know, one step at a time, you know, with all good things in your action plan for the future. And so as we continue, my friends, I want to, again, thank Tim for his letter from the Downstate Correctional Facility and for being a part of the WINGS program. We will respond to him. We will send him a letter back and help him to get organized and to basically continue as a wingman in the WINGS program. And that's what we do in the WINGS program. You know, it's no coincidence, my friends, that we are here today. We're on Holy Spirit Radio, and the Holy Spirit works through us to help other people. And God says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. So today we're helping a brother who is incarcerated, Timothy. And we want to just wish him the very best. But we're going to be there both on the inside and outside of prison walls to help him to see succeed and to find success in reentry after incarceration. Okay, very good. And as we said earlier today, my friends, in our last program, we were teaching the four fundamentals of the WINGS program, which are priorities in life. And just to review, it's God first, and then you, and then family, and then work, and then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And then we have balance, where we feed ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically in all three categories, building up the mind, body, and soul, finding balance in life. When we have balance, we have peace. When we have peace, we can put joy in our lives once again. The third fundamental, just to review, is time management. And there are 168 hours in a week, and all of that time must be positive. So we have to eliminate all negative habit patterns, all negative time in that 168. Negative people, negative individuals who impact us in a negative way. Very, very critical that the 168, which is the core of the WINGS program, is used only in a positive way. So we want to be growing in many directions and not regressing or stagnating. And the fourth fundamental has to do with the circle of influence. Once again, circling ourselves with good people and finding peace within that circle. When we have people who are immoral, unethical, illegal, engage in those activities surrounding us, we need to make changes. So if you've been, you know, in that situation, you too have to make those changes. And it's important because, like Timothy in our letter here today, when people are getting locked up time and time again, most likely they're re-engaging with people who are in the wrong category, people who are involved with illegal activity. And so we've got to make some changes in that circle of influence. And that could be friends or family or acquaintances, but they are people who are taking us down. They're not building us up. And this is where we need to make changes and once again, make a command decision to that change and a commitment to that change to not regress. I knew a lawyer who worked in Philadelphia at the CJC, the Criminal Justice Center, and he told me this. He said, when I was in high school, I had to walk away from a group of friends because they were pulling me down. It was hard to do, but if I didn't do it, my life would have been completely different. So I had to walk away and then get real focused. And he did that. He went to college and law school and has a successful practice today. But once again, it's a decision that each of us has to make to go forward in life. It's very simple, and God will help us to make the right decision if we keep God as our number one priority and we move forward with that. That's important, my friend. So the four fundamentals, once again, just to review: priorities in life, balance, time management, and the circle of influence. And as we move forward in our show today, I want to just talk about one of the great challenges that people have are things from the past, things that slow them down, keep them stuck in time, so to speak, and because they haven't settled the past. And there are three things, my friends, that you cannot change. One of them is the past. You know, we make mistakes, some small, some large, and we can't change the past. We wish we could, but we can't do it. So all we can do with the past is to understand the past, accept the past, forgive the past, and then to find peace with that forgiveness. God will give us that peace. But again, there are three things that you cannot change, and one of them is the past. The second one is God's laws. It's impossible to change God's laws. We'll die trying. We cannot change the laws that God set forth on Mount Sinai through Moses, who delivered them to the people. And the third thing you cannot change is your biological family. Whoever you were born into, born through, they are your biological family. And so we must, you know, understand that, accept that, and move forward. But where there have been wounds of the past and people are stuck, unable to move forward, and there is possibly depression, fear, anxiety, there is just dissatisfaction in life, we need to look at those wounds from the past and, again, understand the wound, accept the fact that we can't change it. We need to forgive the people who have wounded us, but also sometimes we wound others, and in that case, it's time for us to make an apology. And either way, through forgiveness or through the apology, God gives us the peace that only He can provide. And it takes a lot of humility to forgive another person. It takes a lot of humility to apologize to another person. But yet He calls us to it, and he asks us to do it again and again and again. And this is from the gospel. You know, the Lord has told us, as he told the apostles, you know, how many times must I forgive someone? 7 times? And the Lord says 7 times 70. So this is why we need to, you know, put that into practice in our relationships and families and friendships and acquaintances, people who have wounded us and people who we have wounded. But finding humility to make that apology or forgiveness is so critical so that we can get to, you know, move forward to a better day with the peace of God. And again, in the Wings program, we've had some tremendous stories of men who were wounded by parents and siblings and people who have wounded other people significantly, and just amazing stories of tragedy. But many times, with the Lord's help, we arrive at a great peace through forgiveness and through apologies. So in the Wings program, we encourage people to take a moment to engage in writing assignments. This week, take a moment to write a letter of forgiveness to someone that you need to forgive, someone who wounded you, or write a letter of apology to someone that you have wounded, taking the time to write a letter of thanks for someone who's standing by you, someone who's been there time and time again when you really needed them. It's important. So letters of apology, letters of forgiveness, letters of thanks. There's all kinds of great letters that can be written. And the beautiful thing about a letter is that, you know, when the person receives it, they can read it again and again and again. You know, and sometimes when you're making an apology or offering forgiveness, very often people will hang up on you on the telephone. So in the Wings program, we encourage you to take a moment to actually, you know, scribe a letter and to share that letter in hard copy and to allow the Lord to, you know, take that letter into the heart of the other person to bring the peace. And so I've shared it before, but we cannot say it too often. We had a gentleman who shared with me one day in one of the facilities in Philadelphia, PIC, the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center. And he took me out into the hallway and he said to me, "Mr. Montone, I have something I would like to tell you confidentially." And I said, "What is it? What can I do for you?" He said, "I want to tell you that when I was 11 years old, my father raped me." And I said, "What a terrible thing." I said, I can't believe it. I'm very sad to hear that. And I said to him, "Has your father ever apologized to you? Have you ever talked about it?" He said, "No, we've never talked about it." "When was the last time you saw your dad?" He said, "Over 2 years ago." And he said to me, "You know, it makes me feel badly." And I said to him, "Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to forgive your father because God calls us to do it. But your father owes you an apology, because it's important that we close the gap on this. It's going to take some work. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to write a letter to your dad, inviting him to come visit you at this facility. And we're going to write a letter from the heart to touch his heart. And we're going to send it out with the objective of touching his heart and offer him a letter of forgiveness with that extension of the invitation to come visit." And during the visit, my friends, he actually showed up after over 2 years of separation and no discussion about the event, and he apologized to his son within prison walls. And I just tell you, for this young man who was 23, 24 years old, an Army veteran, it meant the world. Because, you know, he had this terrible wound from the past that he couldn't change. He couldn't remove. Remember, you can't change the past. You can only understand it, accept it, forgive it, and then God will bless you with the peace to go forward in daily life. And that's exactly what happened for him. They were able to shed tears together. They were able to go forward and develop a new relationship together. And it's not easy. This is not a storybook. This is real life. This is in a real prison where people suffer every day because of loneliness. And sometimes, you know, we can help by writing a great letter and inviting someone to come and to share with us in a conversation. And within that conversation on this day, that father and son were able to talk openly and honestly about something tragic that occurred between the two of them. And the father apologized to his son. It's one of the greatest blessings that we've ever received in the Wings program is to get an apology from a man who raped his son. So I tell you that, my friends, because that's how God works. You know, where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God will bless. Where the faith is weak and the intentions are good, there's still work to do. And where the faith is strong but the intentions are bad, God will never bless bad intentions. And this is important. So that's, you know, a great story in the Wings program. And I just tell you, my friends, when you get to the point where you have peace and you start to see and have vision for the future, like a lot of our men who see themselves 1 year from today, which is a writing assignment for us. Where do you see yourself 1 year from today? 5 years from today? Where do you see yourself in your spiritual life, in your education, in your finances, in your family life? Do you see yourself as single, married, or in the religious community? Do you see yourself living in an apartment, a home? Do you see yourself riding a bus or in your own car? Do you see yourself as a tradesman, going to college, maybe having your own business? The opportunities and options are endless. It's all up to you. But we encourage you to open up the Word of God. And the Lord says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door shall be opened for you. And with God's help, you will be led to develop a strategic action plan for the future to help you to live a good life, to help other people, to get married, to buy a home, to enjoy family life with your children, to get a college degree, to start a business. It's all good. The world is full of options and opportunities, and with God, as it says in the book of Luke, all things are possible. So that's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you, and thank you for tuning in today to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's been a privilege once again to be here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. And we'll see you next time here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. May God bless you. Have a great day and God bless. Take care.